Orioles lead the Blue Jays 10-3, bottom seven. It's game one of a doubleheader. Game two, 6:35, first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight, the Bobster, and our next guest, Oriole Hall of Famer, Mike Bordick, joining us now. And Bordy, it's been a total offensive barrage, and we'll get to that in a second. Adley Rutschman not in the lineup today, but made his return off the IL yesterday, had three hits, couple of doubles. But how critical are the final 2 months of this season for Adley?
Oh, I think they're really important. I mean, not just for Adley, but for this whole organization. I mean, my gosh, they got to save some face somehow, right? And, you know, Adley Rutschman's been the face of this franchise, and he's got to step up some degree. I really appreciated, and I know he did too, the fact that the crowd acknowledged him and as an important part yesterday of this team. I mean, they welcome back from the IL. Let's go. Get that bat going again. And he didn't disappoint. I think he's so important, and we've seen the importance of a quality catcher. And maybe he's not living up to the 1-1 hype, but he's still better than the five catchers that the Orioles have just thrown in there. So I'm excited about having Adley Rutschman behind the plate, the more consistent piece of this Oriole offense.
Well, and the other part of it for me, Bordy, is like, I mean, we don't know. We haven't heard boo from this ownership group, right? So we don't know exactly where everybody stands with them. And I know there are certainly people in the industry who feel like a GM search may be upon us. And if so, like Adley Rutschman is kind of re-auditioning for his job here, is he not? Because with 2 years of control, if you're not sold on him as absolutely your guy, and especially if someone's coming in who didn't invest a 1-1 in him, and you don't think you can get him signed at your price to an extension because he doesn't want to sell low on himself, then I think a world exists where Adley Rutschman is traded in the hot stove league. Not necessarily if Mike Elias is still here, but otherwise.
Not quite possibly, you know. The second you step foot in the big leagues, you're no longer 1-1. You're just another player, and you got to find a way to hold your own value, and you got to be able to contribute and put up pretty good numbers. And Adley has been a shell of himself for over a year now, so he's got a lot to prove, you know, for himself and to continue to play, because I don't know that there are going to be many teams that want the Adley Rutschman that we just witnessed over basically a full year. So, you know, he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to show he can be a more consistent contributor offensively. And I think he will. I think he's got a nice head on his shoulders, and I think he's going to figure some stuff out offensively, that's for sure.
We're speaking to Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, also part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight coverage. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Gunnar Henderson just hit a Weaver, a three-run shot. The Orioles all over the Blue Jays, 13-3. Jason, do you have that run number? Now in the last three-plus games, this Orioles offense, Bordy, has scored 47 runs after scoring 66
in the first 19 games this month.
Everyone's hot, man. Everyone's hot. Bordy, Westy, another three hits today. Laureano, two hits. Gunner, three hits. Heck, even Tyler O'Neill joining the party. Where has this been?
I know. Well, it's nice to see. And I think there's collectively a degree of excitement that everybody – this is the most healthy this lineup's been, right? You finally get guys back in there on the field. And, you know, this hitting stuff, it really is contagious. And when this team, I think – they start rallying around each other, you can see how dominant they can potentially be. And can it be sustainable, or is O'Neill going to, you know, get hurt again, or is something going to happen? But listen, they can be very productive. This is what everybody was kind of counting on all last offseason, knowing that the pitching wasn't going to be there. Can their offense be sustainable and put up, you know, five-plus runs per night? Well, I don't know. They've shown some pretty impressive stuff here the last few days. And this is something, though, that, you know, they've given us flashes and hope, but they've never been able to ride it out for a while. So let's hope they can keep this up and find some semblance of consistency, because it's nice to say, hey, you're on a nice run. You're scoring 10 runs a night. That's great. That's not sustainable. What happens when all of a sudden a couple guys aren't as hot and you know, then you got to battle for runs. Can they do that?
Bordy, we're now just 50 hours away from the annual transaction period in Major League Baseball expiring. The Orioles have been tabbed by the industry as the team with, you know, the most obvious pieces to sell for the longest period of time. One of the trades, they said Baker, they weren't even trying to make it, fell from the sky. They had to take it for a draft pick. And the other is a guy in Soto who, let's face it, was more down than up the entire time he was here. Are you surprised they haven't been more proactive here? Like, we saw Eugenio Suarez get hit by a pitch last night and get, you know what I mean, on the hand. Like, I don't even know if Arizona's going to be able to trade him now. Like, are you surprised they haven't been more diligent starting to thin out the herd here?
Well, I'm surprised that the market hasn't been as aggressive, because the need for so many of these question mark teams, you know, is really all about pitching, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And there just hasn't been the aggressive moves that I thought were going to happen. Maybe some teams are just waiting to that final deadline and hoping that they can get a little bit more. But, yeah, I thought the Orioles were going to be, you know, the front runner and try to be a little bit more aggressive. But I will say this. Almost all their players have lost value over the last month or so. You know, yeah, sure, they're putting together a couple good days and maybe a good start here and there. But what they've done over the last month and a half hasn't done anything to make another team that's interested in landing a player feel really, really good about what they're getting. So I guarantee the value is down, and you're not going to get much. But, you know, the hope is they can bring back at least a few young arms along the way.
Well, Bordy, one of those guys that was in a really long cold streak but has been hot recently is Cedric Mullins, who has another two hits today, another two RBIs. How cool has it been just seeing these vintage Cedric Mullins performances over the past couple games, robbing multiple home runs, hitting multiple home runs, getting the well-deserved standing ovations?
Yeah, oh, I love it, man. Hey, listen, we all know when Cedric Mullins puts the full game together, he's as exciting and dynamic as anybody. I mean, he still runs as well as anybody. His lines in the outfield, his pursuit angles to the balls are as well as anybody. His timing up against the wall is as good as anybody in the game. The only knock is he can't throw, and his bat's been very inconsistent. But when his bat is consistent, wow, can he add a huge spark to any lineup. So, you know, I think teams are looking at Cedric Mullins, and I know us as fans appreciate that because we have seen it. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been as consistent over the last couple years.
How bought in are you on new, improved, totally fixed Trevor Rogers?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm bought in until he proves otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, this game to me is so mental, and I think a lot of times, and he talks about the mental game, the toughness part of the game. If for some reason he loses that mental edge, whatever he's locked into, and has a hard time, you know, getting it back, you know, that's when there should be some concern. But right now he's you can tell he's really confident. He believes in everything he's throwing. I think he believes he should be here. And I think that's the most important thing. Many, many times young players, man, if they get rocked or if there's a setback, they start questioning whether or not they should, if they're really a big leaguer, are they really good enough to do this every day? And most times they are, but a lot of times you just got to overcome that mental hurdle and trust in your preparation and don't think you have to do anything really outside yourself. Just kind of trust, like what he says, stay in the moment of each pitch and execute. Ground ball comes to you, catch it. If this calls for a fastball down and away, execute it. That's the name of the game.
Bordy, what's happening on the Be More Baseball podcast with Jerry?
Wow, Tim, thanks for asking, man. We had a great guest this morning, former general manager J.P. Ricciardi. Now, I don't know if you guys know this name. He was a former general manager with the Blue Jays. He was a scout. He was the scout that signed me back in 1986
Cod,
and he ended up signing me at the end of my career with the Blue Jays. We had a great time catching up, but he's got some really interesting insight on analytics, because he was with the A's when Moneyball kind of came in, and he's got a really interesting perspective. You got to tune in and check that out. Yeah, J.P. Ricciardi, longtime baseball guy, and love him, man. He gave a great interview. So check it out on the Be More Baseball podcast.
By the way, Bordy, before I let you go, Jerry texted me this. I hope he texted you it as well. This day in history, July 29th, 2000, you homered on your first pitch as a Met.
Oh, let's go, baby. Come on now. Well, that was one of the greatest highlights of my individual personal career. When I think of that, I'm like, how the heck did that happen? You just don't plan for stuff like that to happen. I didn't want to get traded. I was happy I got to go to the Mets for the first pitch to be a home run. I don't know. You couldn't have scripted it any better than that, man. The fans really liked me that day, but it was all downhill for me.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a Cakes question here and test your recall. Because we know that Cakes remembers every pitch he ever threw. So do you remember who the pitcher was and what the pitch was?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, it was the Cardinals.
It was the Cardinals.
It had to have been a fastball because I always hit off the fastball. And if it was first pitch, there's no way I'm swinging a breaking ball.
Right.
So I'll say a fastball. I feel like it was Bennis, maybe. Andy Bennis, is that his name?
Andy Bennis he kicked around for a while. Yeah, I mean, he was a top pick from the Padres, wasn't he?
It was
Andy Bennis. How about that?
Way to
Bordy, way to go.
Oh,
we owe you a steak and egg sandwich.
Yeah, like he needs any more of that.
Like three, and by steak and egg sandwich, I mean three steaks with five eggs on top of it.
How about this? You got a pickles burger going your way.
What's that?
I said you got a pickles burger going your way in a couple hours.
Oh,
how about that?
Oh, my God. I am so looking forward to that pickles burger. There's nothing better, really. A bacon cheeseburger from Pickles? Oh, my gosh.
The grilled chicken sandwich, pretty killer, too.
It's amazing.
All right. Yeah, I'll be down there. Hey, the only reason I knew it was Bennis because Coleman sent me that video, and I haven't stopped watching it, man. So I keep looking at Bennis's back.
Well done, either way.
All right. Bro.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.
We'll be listening at 5:30. You and Bob.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
You got it. Coming up at 3:30, it is bounce back, fall back. Obviously, Ken is out at Ravens practice, so I'll even read it from the rundown. Jason going up against his third son, Beltway Ben Hall, at 3:30. But coming up next, it's our TWIB notes, and Aaron Judge, he's banged up. Rays, could they be big sellers at the deadline in about 48 hours? And this fallout from the Emmanuel Clase situation, that's on the other side. It's Inside Access on The Fan.